Intervju Radija Študent.
Lepo pozdravljeni v Erš intervjuju. Danes je z nami Team Learner, a.k.a. Sensient, ki bo danes v K4 imel, mislim, da live act, oziroma o tem bomo več skoraj govorili kasneje. Gre za legendo Psytrance-a in po mojem mnenju glavnega krivca za zadnjo Psytrance revolucijo. In obenem je tudi ustanovitelj založbe Zenon, po kateri se imenuje celo subžanr imenovan Zenoneske. Team Learner, did I pronounce your name okay?
Yeah, that's close enough.
Close enough.
Yep.
It's an honor to have you as a guest in at our radio station. And yeah, for a start, a classical question.
Mm-hmm.
What are your first impressions of our country, our radio, mm-hmm. our coffee,
yeah.
and so on?
Well, I haven't been here for very long. It's only a matter of a few hours. I came from Venice. I flew into Venice Airport and then drove here from there. Some really nice nature and countryside on the way, which I would, yeah, love to explore another time. And then Ljubljana. Did I say that right? Ljubljana?
Close enough.
Ljubljana.
Ljubljana.
Ljubljana. It's a pretty town and, yeah, the radio station's got a cool underground vibe. Yeah, so first impressions are good.
Mm. Okay. Some time ago, I was doing a radio show about you, and I realized that there's not much information on the web about the subject of early Australian rave scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you can tell me maybe some more about that. Do you have any insight into, I don't know, 90s rave scene before the doof parties emerged?
How early are we talking? Like early 90s or?
Yeah, let's say early 90s.
Yeah, I can't really help you there because I'm not old enough.
Uh-huh.
And I only started getting involved or became aware of the rave or doof scene at the, yeah, in the late 90s. 99 was probably my first party. Yeah, so that's as far back as my memory goes.
Okay, so can you maybe tell us more about the beginnings of the Duff scene and maybe to explain also to our listeners what the Duff party is and what... Mm-hmm.
a Duff party in Australia, I mean, it's a global phenomenon, but maybe there's something unique about the Australian ones that... Basically, it's just taking a big sound system out into the Australian bush, the Australian nature, and some, you know, decorations and decor and lights and, yeah, just listening to good music in the bush because, yeah, it's a unique experience to hear that style of music in that environment. Yeah.
I read that... You had in Australia very strict policy towards against club music in the 90s, and there was also some famous police baton charges at like the famous was at dance event at Sydney Park.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading also that somehow divided a bit this dance rave scene, and that was also the main reason that some folks went to the Byron Bay, which is some kind of Australian Goa, as I imagine
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
You also come from that place, so tell us more about that.
Well, yeah, I had my first experiences with the culture when I was living in Byron Bay. But again, I can't really share any knowledge on why it ended up, Byron Bay ended up like such a hotspot for this sound and this culture, but it definitely was a hotspot. And yeah, it probably was the hotspot in Australia around that time. So it was a really, really cool place for me to discover that music and the scene. Yeah.
Hmm. So this is kind of a backpacker's paradise, mm-hmm. beach.
Yeah, beach, lots of, yeah, just kind of free living, like lots of, you know, hippie communes mm-hmm. and, hippies and ferals and yeah, you know, not so many rules and people going there to escape, you know, the city life. And
but what about the production of psytrance in Byron Bay? I don't know if maybe it was this the Space Tribe guy. Mm-hmm. Was he from Byron Bay?
Yeah, he was from Byron Bay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And beside him, mm-hmm. I don't know anyone else beside you from mm-hmm. Byron Bay. Was there some production scene, or was just more a place for a party where producers got inspired?
There was some production scene. There was another guy. There's another guy called Dark Nebula. He was from Byron Bay, and he still is. He ran a label called Digital Psionics, or still does. So he was one of my influences way back in the day. And then I mean, a few of the Xenon guys, actually, we were all going... We kind of all met up in Byron Bay, going to these events, like in the early 2000s. Myself, Tetrameth, and Shadow Effects, and Sun Control Species, we were all... came from that area and first met in that area, in that scene.
Before you were even making music?
Just when we were beginning, mm-hmm. Yeah, just at the very start. Mm.
I also read that there was this Triple J radio station that was like important for the distribution of electronic music back in the days. That there was hard to catch an electronic tune on the radio, and that the Triple J kind of opened it up. Also, for me, it was some kind of main source of main insight into Australian scene around, I don't know, 2000. I remember these Triple J mixes, Freak Nasty and or Iboga record people do mm-hmm. doofs in the deserts.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see that, the radio station?
Yeah, well, Triple J was, it's, yeah, like a government radio station, but I guess for young people, and sort of, it was like an alternative, it was the alternative, yeah, radio station.
Oh, so that's more like kind of a BBC Radio 1?
Well, it's under that department, mm-hmm. like, yeah, it's like a subdivision of that, but, you know, designed for kind of younger people and an alternative culture, so probably was the most likely place you would hear that sort of music. Well, and there was, yeah, there'd be smaller, like smaller underground stations in each city, but yeah, Triple J is a national station, mm-hmm. so probably the only national station that would have been playing that music and promoting that scene.
Okay, so enough of some general history. Now, I think, I mean, and I perceive you as like the most important person for like the latest revolution in psytrance sound. I wonder, how do you comment on that, or how do you see yourself in the development of global trance music?
I don't really like to be like the word psytrance so much, to be honest, like but I mean, at the same time, it's true that I am in the psytrance scene, and I always have been, like my roots were in the psytrance scene, that's for sure. But when I listen to psytrance, like most psytrance that I hear at festivals, like it's very different from what I do, and so I don't really, I wish there was another word, because I think it's too different to both be in under the same name. But anyway, I mean, there has been, I guess, kind of some sort of small revolution in the sound, or the sound that I've been making and then that I've been releasing with Xenon Records has certainly become much more popular in the last few years, which is cool. I'm happy about that. It was not a big plan of mine to achieve world domination or anything like that. I just have and still do have a passion for the music, and for good music, and for original music, and especially in that style of, you know, deep deep minimal psychedelic dance music. Because when I started the label, there wasn't, that style was kind of disappearing, so I really wanted to keep that going.
So now I remember that some time ago I read on your Facebook page that you were suggesting some kind of a flat rate or some fee for customers that would be paid, I don't know, once every 3 months or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they would get all the releases and some special materials.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to that idea? And how basically goes what's the situation of the business of such label as mm-hmm. Zenon?
Well, the idea is still there. I guess I just don't have enough time to do it yet. It's kind of hard between producing new music and traveling for shows and running the label in general. Yeah, I just haven't had the time, and I haven't worked out a proper business plan for it. I'm not really a businessman, so I think I need to outsource and get some help on that project. But it could be coming within the next 6 months. It's quite possible. I think it's a good idea. I know some other labels are actually doing a similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the general business of running the record label, it's still, you know, I can still, it's, I'm not making big money, but I can still make enough money from it to make it worth my time, I guess. But compared to what I earn from doing shows and from doing gigs, it's really nothing. I can earn much, much more from doing shows. So maybe if I was purely about money, I would just quit the label and write more music and play more shows, because then I would make more money. But I do love the record label as well, so I want to keep it going.
Mm. At the beginning, I read in one of your interviews that the aim of Zenon record label was releasing only dark and minimal stuff. But now the direction of your label broadened a lot. On one hand, there are releases that are more, that reminds more of some German-influenced minimal techno, like Berlin Sound, also Basic Channel. On the other hand, there are some sounds that also reminds of the golden Iboga times. Where is Zenon going?
That's a hard question. Originally it was definitely focused more on the dark minimal sound, dark minimal progressive trance. Like you mentioned, the golden age of Iboga and Cream Crop Records, that was my inspiration back then. Then I think the sound started changing. People like Tetrameth, Shadow Effects, and then a bit later Merkaba brought the daytime sound, which was actually a pretty new sound, I think, and I don't think that really existed. With my music, with Sentient, I can hear some similarities between that and the old Iboga, but then this sort of new Zenon daytime sound, I think that was a new thing. But then from there, I mean, it's just, it keeps morphing and evolving. Like, there's so much music to release at the moment, but it's all sounding different. No two artists sound the same, but still it's got that Zenon Records sound. So yeah, it's really cool. Mm.
And what would you say that defines the Zenon sound? What are your criteria when you say, mm-hmm. okay, I'm gonna release this track?
Okay. Number one is not cheesy. I really don't like any cheesy melodies or simplistic melodies. Yeah, I like some sort of musical complexity. Music, you know, some musicianship inside the song. good fat production and just a generally a deep atmosphere. Not always, but yeah, a deep atmosphere, and it has to be, yeah, intricate programming, interesting programming, and yeah, that's probably about it. There might be some more things I can't think of right now.
All right.
Yeah.
So about today, are you having a live act or DJ performance?
Live and DJ.
Mm. So how many hours of?
2 hours total.
2 hours total.
Mm-hmm.
Well, have anything else to say to our listeners?
Yeah, well, I can say that if you're thinking about coming out tonight, you should come, because actually probably tonight's set will be maybe 100% unreleased music, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I think it will be. I've got a lot of new... I've got on Xenon, there's a... it's 10 years of Xenon. Well, actually, the end of last year was like the 10-year anniversary of Xenon Records. And soon there's going to be a double CD released, so I'll be playing a bunch of those tracks. And yeah, I've been producing new tunes in Berlin lately as well, so I think the live... actually, I will be playing one released track from in my live set. And yeah, but mostly unreleased, so it should be some fresh sounds.
Right, these are great news. And yeah, I'm looking forward for your set. And yeah, I think we've reached the end of our timing slot, so...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Technik Pureni.
Intervju Radija Študent.